On this episode of Reverent Babble, we have a devotion on fasting. Have you ever fasted? Have you ever known somebody to fast? We'll talk about that and a little bit of what Scripture says about fasting in our devotion today. Also, we have some sports topics to cover. We have NASCAR. We have the NASCAR Cup Championship coming up this weekend. We have some NFL to talk about, some college football, big primetime matchup in the ACC this weekend. And we may get into some other topics if we have time later on in the show. But stay tuned for the season finale of Reverent Babble. Y'all ready? Let's babble. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 25 of Reverent Babble. Hey, I'm your host, Neil Huntley, and yeah, like you heard in the prelude, this is the season finale. This is our last episode in 2020 of Reverent Babble, so welcome. Look, y'all, you know, it's November. We know the, you know, election just started, or they're still trying to have an election, it seems, this past week, and November just started. Before we know it, it'll be Thanksgiving. And if y'all's families, like my family and Cody's family, once Thanksgiving comes around, it's nonstop family get-togethers until the first of the year. So Cody and I both agreed just to have a season finale this week, and we will be back in January. And we're working on a deal to have a sponsor when we come back in January, which is exciting. We'll have some merch involved with that as well. And some good things are to come. But we're just going to take the next month and a half, 2 months off, just to recalibrate like we talked about last week and just have a good time with our families, and we'll be back in January. But man, what's new with me this week? It's been a crazy week. You know, it's been a crazy week for a lot of us people, a lot of us Americans, and just watching the TV and seeing what's going on in the world, and especially in our country right now this week with the confusion. And I'm not going to get into politics in this show, and I try not to get into politics in normal everyday life, but you know, it's out there and it's, you know, causing a lot of people to think about it. But besides that, we've had a crazy week at the house. Graham was sick, but he's gotten better now. And you know, it's never fun for your kid to be sick, especially when you're used to seeing them laughing and running around and having a good time. And when they'd rather just curl up on you and either sleep or watch, like Graham does, like to watch videos of tractors on YouTube and things like that. But we've gotten to Friday. It's Friday. We got the weekend ahead of us. And let's get right on into the Devo. We're going to talk about some fasting. All right, y'all. Welcome to the Devo segment of the show. Like I said, we're going to talk about fasting today. How many of y'all have fasted before? I have fasted a handful of times, and to be quite honest with you, I never knew somebody to actually fast until I met my wife. Amber was the first person that I can actually say I personally knew who fasted for some things. And at first, you know, when I first heard of that, I was like, what? You know, how can you do that? Like, I mean, for y'all that know me or have seen pictures of me, I'm a pretty large fella, okay? People call me big guy in high school for a reason, okay? 6'5". Depending on what I eat that day, between 285 and 290 pounds. Okay, so I'm a pretty big size fella, right? And so just thinking of fasting was like, how could you go a whole day without eating, you know? But, you know, as I got to know my wife and saw the importance of it to her, I tried it one time and it really wasn't that bad. And, you know, that was kind of a story right there, but I'll start the Devo with the story that happened to me yesterday on Thursday. You know, just like I said in the intro, the election's been on everybody's minds in some form or fashion, and it hasn't really like necessarily worried me or freaked me out, but it's been a constant thing on my mind ever since Tuesday. I mean, I stayed up late Tuesday night wondering to see if we would have a winner like we did in the previous time, and we didn't. Stayed up late, was very tired on Wednesday, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it was just a constant thing for me to check, you know, every half hour or so just to see what it was the latest on that. And I have my morning prayer time on my way to work. I have about an 8-minute drive between my house and Wingate University. And And during that time, I'm just in constant prayer. And I usually leave the quote unquote prayer line open during the day just so I can have God right there on my mind. And it's just a way of kind of holding myself accountable throughout the day too. But today, as I told Amber bye and kissed Graham on the head and told him bye too, I left my protein shake that I usually have for breakfast. I left it sitting on the couch because I was so anxious to get into the truck to have my prayer time. And I left it there. Like I said, I left my protein shake sitting on the couch just because I was so distracted. Let's not say distracted, but I was so focused on what I was going to pray about and how I was going to make most of that time in the truck this morning on my way to work. And during my prayer time, I said my usual stuff, you know, like to keep my wife safe at school and to let Graham have a good first day back at daycare. Cause like I said, in the intro, he was sick, earlier this week, but it was his first day back at daycare yesterday too. And, you know, during that time in the prayer time, I realized, hey, silly, you left your milkshake, you left your protein shake and your pack of crackers at the house. You're not going to have breakfast. And, you know, at that point, I even told God halfway through the ride that, you know, God, I don't know what else to pray for this morning. So if there's something I need to pray about, please, you know, intercede for me. We've talked about prayer on here before. I've talked about prayer with my youth at church. And sometimes, you know, we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit can kind of intercede for us and help bring stuff to our minds to talk to God about, which is just amazing, right? But just out of nowhere, once I realized that I left my breakfast at home, I prayed, God, you know, just fill me today. Use me, fill me for whatever you need me to do today. Fill me, God. And I went on into the shop and got my boots on, jacket on, and I was like, you know what? I can run by the snack machine and get me a pack of crackers. So I went to the snack machine. Snack machine was out of order. It said network error when I tried to use my Apple Pay to spend $1 on a pack of crackers. And I was like, well, okay, then maybe it just didn't scan right. So without thinking twice about it, I tried again. Network error. And I was like, well, darn, I'm not going to be able to eat anything. And then as soon as I said that out loud, which nobody was around, so, you know, I was just talking to myself. I'm kind of crazy like that sometimes. But I was like, well, darn, I'm not going to be able to have anything for breakfast. And as soon as those words left my lips, I felt God say, excuse me there, bud. Didn't you say for me to fill you today? So you don't need a pack of crackers. I'm going to fill you today. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right, God. So it looks like we're fasting today. And I'd told my wife that, you know, God had a good sense of humor this morning. Told my buddy James that too. And, you know, as soon as I told James what had happened, he was like, yeah, looks like you're fasting today, bro. And I said, yep, looks like it. I'm all for it. Let's go. So I fasted today. I, you know, of course, drank water, stayed hydrated. But I fasted today and just stayed in constant prayer with God. And it felt so good. It felt so peaceful. And it felt so relieving to kind of get away from the craziness of this world, especially this week in the news and media and all that stuff. And just to get on that mower, put on some praise and worship music, and just listen to some stuff that had nothing to do about, you know, the current state of events, just for, you know, a few hours today. It was so relieving just to feel that closeness with God where He was filling me and not, you know, some substance or something like that. But let's talk about fasting in Scripture. You know, one of the more famous times of fasting in Scripture is in the book of Luke when Jesus is out in the wilderness. So I'll read it for us. It says, and starting in verse 1 of Luke chapter 4, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now, we know that Satan's tempting him right here, and he's kind of mocking him at the same time. So he said, well, if you really are the Son of God, why don't you just turn this stone into a Sister Schubert roll, right? Verse 4, but Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And we know in this story that Satan goes on to tempt him a few more times. And, you know, instead of chiming back at Satan or being ill-willed or hateful towards him, he just says, "It is written." He quotes scripture right back to him to make Satan flee. But it's right there. I mean, Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, and, you know, he was hungry, and Satan saw that he was hungry and, you know, tried to trip him up, say, "Well, if you're who you say you are, you can make this rock bread, and therefore you can eat it. You won't be hungry anymore." And Jesus said, you know, man should not live by bread alone. Man should not live by these physical substances on earth, but by every word of God. And God, I leaned on the words of God today during my fast, and it was very filling. It was very filling to do so. Now, when it was time to eat later in the afternoon, I was very hungry, and I could feel God saying, "Okay, we've done fasting today. Thank you for that." And I thanked him for that too. And I was very happy to eat something, but I wasn't starving today, you know? Yeah, I felt that closeness with God, especially in a week of all weeks with all the craziness going around. But we're called to fast and not boast about it either. We're called to, because that moment of fasting is a time where it's just between you and God. Like when I realized that I was fasting, I just shared it with James, because James is a fellow youth pastor, and we like to talk to each other about how God's working in our life. And I talked to my wife about it, because that's what you're supposed to talk to your spouse about, is how God's working in not only your life as a couple, but your individual lives as well. But I didn't like go on Twitter and say, hashtag I'm fasting today, or take a picture in the mirror of me acting like I'm hungry and saying, "Well, I guess I'm fasting today." I didn't boast about it, you know. It was just a moment between me and God today. An example of somebody boasting about their fasting is also in the book of Luke chapter 18. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Starting in verse 9, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector.'" So the Pharisee, he seems a little stuck up, right? So he's already boasting, but here's where another boast comes. Verse 12, "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So we have two different people going to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, we know who Pharisees are. They're the elders. They're the ones that are supposed to be holy and all these things like that. But instead of being humble towards God in his prayer, he said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not as bad as these other people. You know, I fast twice a week. I give tithes. I do all these things." And he's saying, you know, I'm doing all these things just to look good. And I'm glad I'm not like this tax collector that's standing right beside me. And the tax collector could have easily said, "Well, God, at least I'm not like this guy that's boasting about everything." He didn't make his prayer public. He made his prayer between him and God like it's designed to be. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," and then prayed. And just like Jesus said in verse 14, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled." So the Pharisee's going to be humbled out of that, because he tried to exalt himself just because he fasted twice a week and did all the other things that you're supposed to just be a good Christian about, basically, right? Which, you know, they weren't Christians, but you know what I'm saying. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted by God. You know, talking about more so about making it public about fasting or boasting about fasting, it's in the book of Matthew 2, chapter 6. It says, "Moreover, when you fast," and this is Jesus talking, "do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So a lot of people that fasted, especially back in biblical times, they not only did not eat or drink, they didn't take care of themselves. They looked real rough. They were dirty. And it was very obvious that if you were fasting, that you were fasting because you looked, you didn't look well kept. But like Jesus says, don't not take care of yourself just so people go, "Oh, Neil's fasting. He must really need some close time with God. You know, good for him. I'm praying for him. Da 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 da." No, take care of yourself on the outside. Fast, you know, don't have any substance from sun up to sundown. You can have water. You're not supposed to torture yourself. But fill yourself with the Spirit instead of filling yourself with some fast food or, you know, something like that from the house. Do it for just you and God. Don't do it for people to say, "Oh, he's fasting. Wow, he must be a really good Christian." But if you noticed, that scripture sounded really familiar to one we've talked about on here before, and I know I've talked to my students at church about too. It says, you know, don't do like the hypocrites do and do it just so people can see it. And that's because it does sound familiar, because earlier in this same chapter in Matthew, he's talking about prayer. Jesus is talking about prayer. Verse 5 says, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and do on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward." That I think that their reward is, you know, they're getting the attention that they want. Verse 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." I said fancy words, which is the same thing too. "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." So I encourage y'all to fast. You know, it's like I told you at the beginning of this devotion, it seemed ridiculous. Maybe ridiculous is a bad word. It seemed almost impossible for that to be something that I could do. A guy that enjoys his food, to say the least, right? And, you know, I didn't think I could do it. And I tried it one time, and I don't do it just to boast about it. I didn't plan to do it yesterday. You know, I just happened to leave my protein shake at the house, and God used all that for a reason. He caused me to be distracted and get onto the truck, and the Holy Spirit interceded today and got me to ask God for him to fill me today, and he did. And then he reminded me that at the snack machine when I was a little perturbed that I didn't get my Lance cheese crackers out of the snack machine this morning. But I didn't need the cheese crackers. I didn't need lunch. I was filled by the Spirit today, and I felt the closeness of God that I pray that you can feel this week. I pray that you can feel this weekend and in the weeks to come. You know, I'm not getting into politics, but, you know, just elections on a lot of people's minds, and it's worrying a lot of people whether you voted for one side or the other. Go to God in this situation. Don't rely on just your favorite music. Don't rely on just your favorite food. Don't rely on your favorite TV show, favorite video game to get you through your worries. Fast for a little bit. Have that one-on-one time with God, and don't boast about it. You'll be rewarded for it when it's just you and God. All right, y'all, it's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is the Weekly Score. No guest on today, it's just me talking, so it won't be a very long segment, but just go over some top stories going on in sports, and then we'll close out this year, and we'll see y'all in January. Right now in the background, I got the Green Bay Packers and the 49ers on in the background, and whew, boy, are the Packers just taking care of business. As of right now, there's about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the Packers are up 31-3, and man, the 49ers, 2020 has not been too good to the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of injuries on defense. You know, that defense is what got them to the Super Bowl last year, and they have some key injuries like Jimmy G and others on offense, and it's just not their time this go around, and the Packers are being the Packers and just dominating as of right now. Aaron Rodgers has 24-30, 299 yards and four touchdowns, and the Packers are driving. He might have five before the night's over with. But I'll get back to NFL in just a little bit. Let's do what we've been doing. Let's kick off with some NASCAR. This will be the last weekend of NASCAR for the 2020 season, and props to NASCAR for getting this season done. It's, you know, a lot of teams, a lot of leagues started out not knowing if they would get it finished, and you know, NASCAR had a big gap in their season. They had to run some double headers here and there to catch up, and they caught up, and now it's time for the NASCAR Cup Series Championship at Phoenix, and the Xfinity Championships at Phoenix, and so is the Truck Series Championship at Phoenix this weekend. But strictly just talk about the Cup Series real quick. We know the Championship Four is Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Chase Elliott. Yeah, Chase Elliott won at Martinsville last weekend and got him into the Championship Four. And while that got him in, it knocked Kevin Harvick out. That's right, Kevin Harvick, 9 wins on the year this season. He was the regular season Cup Series champion, but he will miss the Championship Four and miss the chance to win the NASCAR Cup Series Championship at Phoenix, which is one of his more dominant tracks, which a lot of tracks were dominant for him this year. He had 9 wins, like I said. But a lot of Kevin Harvick fans were not too happy that he missed the Championship Four just because he had such a great regular season. People were saying, oh, you know, this was the old way of scoring. He'd have won the points championship back in at Texas, and we've just been racing for fun now. Well, that's not the rule anymore. They changed the format for a reason, and for this reason alone. You know, in other sports, just because you go 15-1 in a regular season of NFL doesn't mean you automatically go to the Super Bowl. Doesn't guarantee you win the Super Bowl either. Look at the Panthers. I'm not taking a dig at my own team, but that's the truth. Went 15-1 and lost the Super Bowl. You know, there's teams that are great in the regular season, and if they don't perform well in the playoffs, you know, kind of like how Harvick did, even when he had a very sizable cushion in points throughout the whole playoffs, he just did not get the job done when it came to crunch time, especially at Martinsville. Now, he tried. He spun out Kyle Busch, which a lot of people were cheering when he spun out Kyle Busch, because if he had beat Kyle Busch by that one position, he would have got in to the Championship Four. But with him finishing behind Busch and several others, for that fact, he missed the Championship Four by 1 point, which is just heartbreaking. He even said it was a, quote, gut punch. But we'll see who wins between Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, Logano, and Brad Keselowski. I'm curious to see how Logano and Keselowski go after it, because they're teammates. They both raced for Penske. Then you have Hamlin, who was right behind Harvick for a lot of wins this year, and Chase Elliott, who is the Cup Series most popular driver, and he's gotten hot at the right time this year. You know, he won in the playoffs at the Roval, he won the All-Star race, and he won at Martinsville last week too. And, you know, he does really good at these quote-unquote flat tracks. Some people call them flat tracks when they don't have much banking in the turns and whatnot. So I think Chase Elliott has a really good chance to win. But with all that going on, we are saying goodbye to quite possibly the most successful driver in NASCAR history. Yeah, Jimmie Johnson is set to conclude his 7-time NASCAR Cup Series career, 7-time NASCAR Cup Series championship career this weekend at Phoenix. Think about that. 7-time champion. That's wild, especially in such a sport as NASCAR. You know, this is up there with, you know, this is above, but it's right there with when Dale Jr. retired, when Tony Stewart retired, and things like that. But it's going to be weird to not see Jimmie Johnson in the 48 car next year. Now, he'll be in a number 48 car. It'll be an Indy car here and there, but he will not be a full-time NASCAR Cup driver. He may drive some for Chip Ganassi Racing here and there, because that's who his contract with IndyCar is through, which that'll be weird also, because, you know, Alex Bowman will be in the 48 in Hendrick, and so we'll see what happens after that. But, you know, according to CBS Sports, Johnson has just one race remaining in his 7-time Cup Series championship career. Only two other drivers, Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt, have matched the amount of titles Johnson has accumulated. If y'all remember correctly, at the throwback race earlier in the playoffs at Darlington, all the Cup cars had throwback paint schemes, and Jimmy Johnson's paint scheme was half Dale Earnhardt themed and half Richard Petty themed. So it was 21 Cup championships in one paint scheme, which was pretty wild to see. Johnson has 83 career wins and has been deadlocked with Cale Yarborough in a tie for 6 all-time since he took home a checkered flag in 2017 at Dover, which is the longest winless drought of his career. So, you know, usually in these championship races, it's whoever wins the race wins the championship, because it's usually somebody in that championship four, especially with this new format. But wouldn't it be something for Jimmy Johnson to go out into his last race and win, especially to pass Cale Yarborough on the list and get career win number 84, and then see out of the championship four who finished the best out of that and crown a champion that way. But it would be something, it would be a sight to see Jimmy Johnson win this race at the end. I don't think he has much of a chance. It's just not his year. You know, him and his longtime crew chief, Chad Knaus, part of ways Knaus has been with William Byron, and he's going on to a new role with Hendrick next year too. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen, but it sure would be fun to see Jimmy Johnson win this weekend. I'm going to cheer for Chase Elliott. I usually cheer for Truex Jr., and like I've said on here before, I'm going to move on to being a Chase Briscoe fan next year with him being a rookie and everything. I'll still cheer for Truex and things like that, but out of these four, I think I got to go with Chase Elliott just to see that would be something really cool to see, especially with him being the Cup Series most popular driver. But we'll have to see. It's going to be a fun race, but, you know, also we have Clint Bowyer retiring as well after this race, and he's going to move on to the broadcast booth with Fox to be up there with Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon, and that's that's going to be fun come Daytona 500 time in February. But I hope you all tune into the race on Sunday. I know the Xfinity Championship's on Saturday too. Watch that, because you're going to need to watch Chase Briscoe, because he's going to be in that 14 car at Stewart Haas Racing next year to take Clint Bowyer's spot. So it's going to be a fun weekend of racing if you want to see something like that. Now, let's scoot on to some NFL news. And this just broke about an hour ago as I'm recording this. Adam Schefter tweeted that the NFL has fined the Raiders $500,000 more. John Gruden another $150,000, and also took a 2021 sixth-round draft pick from Las Vegas for repeated COVID protocol violations. So this was not a, you know, once in a blue moon violation, COVID violation for the Las Vegas Raiders. This has happened over and over and over again, and the NFL got to the point where they fined the Raiders organization money, they fined John Gruden money, and they took a draft pick away from the Raiders, which is just absolutely wild. Now, you know, my first initial response is, well, if they did this to the Raiders, what are they going to do to the Titans? Because the Titans, there for a little while, the Titans are like they were about to ruin it for everybody. But I don't know what's going to come out of that. Like I said, as of this recording, this is a fresh story. It was tweeted about an hour ago. But, man, that is a mess going on in Las Vegas. You know, I said that I have the Packers and Niners game on right now. It's 34-3, but the Packers are going to run away with that. The Packers are looking good after bouncing back from that loss that they got from the Vikings last Sunday. The Panthers need a bounce back game this week after losing on Thursday night to the Falcons last week, and it's going to be a tough bounce back game because we have the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. And, you know, I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater is going to play. I hope he does, but I keep seeing reports that his neck still hurt from the cheap shot that he took against the Falcons. But, you know, this next man up right now, and that would be P.J. Walker, who is the XFL product, who was with my Houston Roughnecks last year. And that would be exciting to see, too. He got in for a little bit against the Falcons, and, you know, who knows? Anything can happen. It's 2020, right? Anything can happen in sports and in life and in this infamous year of 2020. But we have some really good matchups coming up in the NFL this week. Like I said, Packers are taking care of the Niners. Sunday Night Football, we have the New Orleans Saints going to Tampa to play the Buccaneers. That's a rematch of their week one That's going to be fun. And then Monday night, well, this did look good at the beginning of the year. We have the 2-5 New England Patriots going to the Meadowlands to play the 0-8 New York Jets. You know, this is just another prime example, just like last week with the Eagles and Cowboys on Sunday night. This is just a prime example that they should not make primetime games. They should not schedule primetime games until the teams start playing. You can go ahead and pre-schedule the week one primetime games, but after that, you need to just be ready to flex them. You know, it's hard to flex a Thursday game. You can go ahead and pre-schedule those, but the Sunday night game and the Monday night game, you might need to just go ahead and try to find a way, if all possible, to flex those once you see the matchups and the records and things like that, because it's really hard to get hyped up for the Patriots and the Jets this year with the way they're playing. Not a knock on Cam Newton. Cam's struggling, and we've seen that. And, you know, him and Bill are still trying to get a feel for each other, and some people are even saying Cam's on the hot seat right now. But, you know, Cam may be struggling, but, whew, that Patriots defense is atrocious this year. And, you know, we talked about in earlier episodes before the season even started, they had a lot of defensive players opt out of the season this year due to the COVID and everything like that. But, you know, they are playing the Jets, so that's one good thing they have going for them. You know, the Saints and Bucks game is going to be a very, very fun game to watch. I will definitely tune in for most of that game before I go to bed that night. Tampa Bay is opening up at a 4.5-point favorite against the Saints, and we've talked about on here that usually the home team gets a three-point favorite on there. Just for being the home team. And so if you put that into account, the Bucs are favored by 1 point. So we'll see what happens with that. We have the 7-0 Steelers going on to play the 2-6 Cowboys. Right now it sounds like either Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert's going to start for the Cowboys. And Garrett Gilbert's a former Panther and a former Orlando Apollo, for y'all that remember the Alliance of American Football that lasted 3/4 of a season. He played under Steve Spurrier and the AAF for the Orlando Apollos. Like I said, we got Panthers and Chiefs. Chiefs open up as a 10.5-point favorite. You know, I have no argument with that at all. Another fun matchup that's going to be on Sunday afternoon at 1 will be the Ravens and Colts. We saw the Ravens couldn't get it done against the Steelers last week, and they are 5-2 going up against the 5-2 Colts. Bears and Titans will be a good matchup as well. Seahawks and Bills will be a Sunday at 1 o'clock. See, they need to change that game to the Monday night game, and that way nobody has to watch Patriots and Jets unless you're a Patriots or a Jets fan. But Bills and Seahawks, man, that would be a really fun game to watch. If you have NFL Red Zone or Sunday Ticket, I would definitely try to tune in to that for sure. But like I said, another full slate of games in the NFL. I'm curious to see what will be going on in NFL playoffs once we start the show back up in January. But let's talk a little college football as well. I'll go ahead and say it. The Tar Heels need to stop playing football games at night, because when we play football games at night, our defense just stays at home. You know, we lost that big game against Florida State, which we should have won when we were, you know, top 5 team in the country. Then we go up to Charlottesville and Virginia and just drop a dud against the Cavaliers. You know, in college football, if you score 41 points, most of the time you have a good chance of winning the game. But the Tar Heels lost 44-41. We gave up 44 points to the UVA Cavaliers, and that was embarrassing. And just to move on and not to harp on last week, we have Duke this week in the battle for the victory bell. That's always a hard-fought game for both teams, no matter the records. So that's going to be fun. I saw where Carolina's going to be wearing white tops and their, what they like to say, Carolina blue britches and their white helmets. So at least they'll be looking pretty. Hopefully they'll play just as pretty. But that's going to be a fun game to watch. Definitely tune into that. But the one game that everybody is definitely going to watch this week is Clemson going to South Bend, Indiana to play the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. This is what looks like to be a preview of the ACC Championship, and, you know, it's coming quick, and it's going to be played at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. Now, you know, this matchup is missing one crucial piece. It's missing Trevor Lawrence. He's out a second game due to testing positive for COVID. He was out last week against Boston College, and Boston College gave Clemson a scare there for a little bit, but Clemson fought back and got the job done. It was on the scoreboard, it looked close, but that second half was all Clemson, and that was classic Clemson too, where they would just dominate. But
they kept their number one ranking after that, and now they're going into South Bend to play the number four, 6-0 Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And, you know, somebody's got to lose this game. I think because Lawrence is out, you could say Notre Dame has an edge, especially with them playing in South Bend too. But I could really see Clemson getting it done. I really could. You know, they have Travis Etienne, who is, you know, he just passed for, you know, the most career yards at Clemson and things like that. And, you know, they had the new quarterback go in last week, and I'm about to pronounce his name, and y'all going to be proud of me pronouncing it this way too. Uiagalelei. Yeah, DJ Uiagalelei. He is the second string quarterback for Clemson and starting in place of Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, he had his struggles here and there against BC, but he really came back with a vengeance. And I think he's going to be comfortable now. And I think it was a good warm-up game against Boston College to be ready to go play Notre Dame this weekend. But I really could see this game going either way. I do think Clemson has the edge, honestly, just because of their defense. And I think Travis Etienne can still get the job done just because that dude is an absolute playmaker. And, you know, just like John Harris said on here a couple weeks ago, it feels like Etienne's been there for about 15 years. And I could definitely agree with that. It's going to be weird to see him in the NFL next year and not wearing that white paw on his helmet. But that's going to be a fun matchup. I hope y'all tune into that. And it's definitely a potential preview for the ACC Championship in Charlotte. And the winner of that, more than likely, will go to the college football playoff later on this season. But we got a full slate of games all over the place. It feels good to be talking about sports again for a little bit. But that's all I got for this week, y'all. Like I said, I didn't have anything to keep us long this week. No guest on. Didn't really have time to get guest on with getting Graham feeling better and things like that. But I hope y'all have enjoyed this season finale of Reverent Babble. It was episode 25. Man, 25 episodes. It sure has been fun this year, and I can't wait to get back with a potential sponsor, may I remind you, in January. We'll still have Parrish come on. We'll have Scott come on, James and John, when we get back in January, and that'll be fun just to have them call in and help us converse with certain topics and things like that. And it'll be good to have Cody back on too as well. But y'all have a great week. Next week, y'all have a great weekend. This weekend, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe on Black Friday. I don't even know, are they even going to allow Black Friday? Who knows? Have a Merry Christmas with your family. Somebody needs to tell Santa Claus to be safe, because if Santa Claus goes to every house on Christmas Eve in the world, he's going to be the biggest super spreader of COVID in the history of the world. So, you know, maybe we need to tell Santa to just put him at the doorstep this year. I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to talk to him when we see him and things like that. But y'all have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we will see y'all in January. And matter of fact, during that time, go back and listen to our old episodes. You can see how we've progressed and gotten better since episode one. And just go have fun with your family. Enjoy that time that you have with your family. Don't take it for granted. And just see the blessings around you. See God's blessings around you. And go tell somebody that Jesus loves them. I'll see you on January. And Cody will be back too. Bye.